Good morning. Yeah, yeah. And I'm excited to be here. We just celebrated a 4th of July. Does anybody remember what the 4th of July was? Hey, you guys remember? Yeah, yeah. 4th of July. What else do we call it? Independence Day. Who actually knows why we celebrate it? I got a buddy at work that calls it English Treason Day. But why do we celebrate the 4th? This is, by the way, for those of you wondering, this is not a 4th of July sermon. This is just a question. Why do we celebrate the 4th? Okay, somebody knows their stuff. Okay. What about Easter? Why do we celebrate Easter? Anybody remember? Why do we celebrate Easter? When Jesus rose. Okay, awesome. What about Christmas? Anybody like Christmas? Can I do this one? I want to do this one. We celebrate Christmas because we've worked so hard all year to save up our money. We can blow it all in 1 month. No, that's not it. Wait. Why do we celebrate Christmas? And why do we celebrate Jesus' birthday? Oh, okay. So I ask you these questions, and we celebrate these things because we celebrate a part of history, right? As a matter of fact, I don't know, do they still have an actual history class in school? We have a history class, yeah. Some things that us old-timers, I'm getting in that age, where we do things a little bit differently. And do they actually teach history? We got a wife. Yeah, okay. At least part of it, from what I've heard. We learn from the past so that the future can be better, right? Like, that's the whole part of history. Like, I want to know what happened when somebody messed up. As a matter of fact, Ralton and I shared in an equal terrible experience yesterday. It wasn't in the exact same place, same time, but both of us got stung yesterday. And quick little pause, Ralton is at Ponder's Gap, right? Not Pond Grove, Ponder's Gap, filling in, preaching this morning. And we also have Tyler and Aaron are over at Impact Church leading worship this morning. So we're sending people out, proclaiming the gospel. So be in prayer for them this morning. We'll pray for them in a minute. But we shared in an experience. Ralton and I shared an experience yesterday. We both got stung. Ralton's arm is swole up this morning. He came in and led Sunday school and then went on. It was all swole up this morning. My ankles are killing me. I stepped on a yellow jacket's nest, and the next thing you know, they like covered my ankles, and now they're swollen and tight. And man, I'm telling you, wouldn't it be nice to have known? Because just a few weeks ago, my kids said, or a couple weeks ago, they said, hey, we were out there by where the dog was and we got stung. And I just totally blew it off as, oh, well, they got stung. But man, if I would have really got down and I would have listened to my history, the things that have already happened in the past that we either want to do again or we don't want to do again, I would have said, probably not a good idea to randomly walk around where we had an old wood pile and look in the air for a yellow jacket's nest. It's not a good idea. But I can tell you this. This guy is not going to repeat that same mistake. Why? Because it hurt. It was terrible. And not trying to be mean or anything, but I wish I'd have listened to my kids, and they could have been the only ones that got stung once or twice. And I wouldn't have had to go through that. And that's not wishing pain on my kids, but that's wishing that I would have learned from the history of what actually happened to them. So as we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 10 here at Fireside, if you were visiting with us this morning, we are going all the way through the book of 1 Corinthians. One of the letters that Paul wrote, the first letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And if you want to go back and you say, man, That was pretty good, but I'd really like to see what happened in the first 9 chapters. You can go to our website, and Luke over here by Brielle, that did not have a birthday last week that we're not mentioning, has posted those for us to be able to go out and listen to. So if you want to get caught up, or if you missed one, we've got them there. But our natural studies have brought us to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to be going over the first 13 verses there. But what I want to share with you before we read in is a lot of us will read and say, why do we have to hear about all those things in the past? Why does it matter? I remember sitting through some of my history lessons and saying, man, why does it matter? All of these things that happened. It's done. It's over with. Let's get through it and let's go do something new. Problem is, if we don't take what has already been done and listen to it, we will have to repeat that in order to learn those lessons again. Right? We are doomed to fail again if we don't take heed to what we've been taught. And that's what Paul's trying to tell the church at Corinth. Remember all of those things. Remember the things that you talk about, the things that you study, when you worship, when you talk about Moses, all of those things, remember them. So as we read, I ask that you guys realize where Paul is coming from. Let's pray. Lord God, as we dig into your word today, allow the entire picture to be painted for us to also be able to see the minute details as well as the big picture, to see all of your word, Lord. I ask for you to open it up to us, to share it with us, to allow us to learn from it, Lord, to allow us to change our lives that we may become closer to you, Lord, but also to be able to go out and proclaim you to the world. Lord, be with us today and be in your word. Speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So Paul starts out in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. It says, now I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud. All passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, since they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, so that we will not desire evil things as they did. Don't become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and get up to party. Let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in a single day, 23,000 people died. Let us not test Christ as some of them did and were destroyed by snakes. And don't complain as some of them did and were killed by the destroyer. These things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our instruction, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it. Man, so Paul's coming in, like I said, he's telling a little bit of history, but we got to go back just a little bit. You got to go back and say, what has led us up to this? And we know that the church at Corinth has been really striving. They are being changed by the way that Corinth is saying that we should go. Things are being manipulated just a little bit at a time. And you know, you can just change this little aspect. If you would just do this, it would make somebody feel better. If you would act this way, your life would be easier. If you would change little things, and the more that we change and we go away from, the farther we get from Christ, and the farther that we get from Christ, the closer that we get to death. And all of a sudden, we forget who we are. We forget what we were created for. We forget where we came from. We forget all of those things. We just lose track. And Paul says earlier in chapter 9, he talks about running the race and finishing strong. When you're tired and you're worn out and you have nothing left, keep on going and finish this life out. Finish out the walk with Christ. And now he comes into chapter 10, he says, and remember all the things in the past that the people have gone through so that you do not have to repeat them. Don't go back into that time frame. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest problems, if anybody reads through like all of Exodus and Numbers, the Jews, the Israelites that we were talking about there were some of the whiniest complainers that I have ever read about. As a matter of fact, I would have thought that they may have been like some of our kids, right? Like they complain so much that every time they turn around, this wasn't good enough, that wasn't good enough, but this is too much, and that's not enough. And even though you gave us this, that isn't what I wanted. I wanted this. I don't like the fact that you got me the black earphones. Those aren't popular. I want the white ones, and I deserve it. Because don't you remember how difficult I was to wake up the other morning? But then I got up and I actually brushed my own teeth. I mean, after you asked me 50 times. But I deserve it because of that. Sound like anybody that you know? Kaysen. Kaysen said he did that one time. Sounds like myself. I do that a lot. But I deserve it. I'm owed it. Why? Because I'm special. You guys have told me my whole life I'm special and I'm different from everybody and I deserve that. And you need to go work for it. And that food isn't good enough. That's not one thing I've really said a whole lot. I'm not going to lie. Can't lie in church. I've not said that food's not good enough too many times. I have preferences. But I'm just not good enough. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Water, ooh, we have those things that we do and then we complain, we deserve that, we need more. You mean you actually want me to work for a paycheck? You mean I can't get just an allowance at home for doing nothing? You expect something out of me? The Jews were filled with that, and Paul comes up, says, now I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud. Now, if you read this and you don't have just the ability to go back and say, man, I've read that several times, you'd be like, what do you mean under the cloud? But at this point in time, the church at Corinth would have been able to know the Old Testament, right? They would have known it well. They would have studied it. They would have been a part of it. And he's speaking to them and said, don't you guys know? I want you to know that all of your ancestors, they were all under the cloud. All of them that were coming out. And you say, well, what's the cloud? Well, in order to understand what the cloud was, we have to go back. We say, okay, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I'd like to know. We go back into Exodus chapter 13. If you guys remember, as the Israelites were being drawn out of Egypt, they were pulled out and they were given direction on which way to go. They were being shown and they were there and they were there. There was the knowledge that God was with them. And how did he share his presence? How did he share his direction? How did he share the knowledge of him? Chapter 13, verse 21, it says, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way during the day, and in a pillar of fire to give them light at night. So they could travel day or night, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, never left its place in front of the people. Man, how awesome would it be? See, a lot of us get into that stage where we see that and we say, man, it'd be so much easier to follow God if he would just jump in and throw a big cloud up and show me exactly where I need to go. Right? Wouldn't that be easier? And we look back and we say, hey, wouldn't it be awesome to just be able to, at night, whenever during the day, I'll look up, see the cloud at night, I'll see the fire. I am going to know which direction to go, and I am not going to stray from it. Man, how much easier the Israelites would have had than what we have. It would have been so much easier because they had something right there. The difference is what we have literally guides us each and every step of every day. We are unwilling to look and to listen. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us, there for us, loving us, comforting us, showing us. Not only do we have the Holy Spirit, we have God's Word that we are open to read and free to read anytime we want. We're in a nation that gives us the ability to say, you know what, during my break at lunch, I'm going to pull out my Bible and I can read it. And not only that, I'm able to go home and I'm able to teach my kids God's Word. I'm able to do all these things in God, and yet I want more. I wish I had that cloud. I wish I had that fire where I knew that He was there, and yet we forget that the Israelites were still running from Egypt. Their lives were literally on the line. The Egyptians were coming after them. And you say, well, how do you know that they're coming after them? Because he goes in just a little bit farther and he says another piece of history. And Moses in the cloud, says ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized in the Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So if you go on to the very next chapter and you read in chapter 14, you can read the entire story. It says, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to break camp. As for you, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. He didn't say this because everything was good where they're at. He didn't say this because they were calm. He didn't say this because, you know, we're at this camping spot, but man, that one across the way looks a lot better. Let's go camp over there. You know, we today have these problems. Say, man, I wish God would make a path because even though I have it good, that over there looks better. I want a little bit more. He didn't say it because of that. He literally told Moses, go out there. I'm going to part the seas. Go out there and lead them in because death was coming and calling for them. The Egyptian armies were coming to take their lives. And yet God made a way. He gave them direction in the cloud and in the fire, and he made them a path through the seas on dry ground. And yet the entire time, they were still in danger as the world goes. But the problem is, the world doesn't understand, does it? See, each and every one of us are running from something as well. It may not be a literal army today. It may not be the Egyptians or the Russians or anybody else, even though those are the things that the news and the media and everybody else want you to think that we need to be running from. It's not from being way too conservative or way too liberal. It's not from your buddies down the road, and it's not from all these things. All those are a part of it, but it's not the main thing. Those are all avenues in which this three-letter word gets into and attacks us, comes after us. Huh? Sin. Man. It comes after us and seeks us. It wants to take us out. It covers us in a way that destroys us. The sentence is death for the sin that we create, and yet we don't worry about it. We say, man, our life would be easier if we could just do it a little bit more and maybe the rules would change. The rules don't change. rules are still there. And God says, follow me. I give you the Spirit. Don't you remember when people tried to escape? Don't you remember when I was there for them? Don't you remember? Doesn't mean that the hard times aren't going to go away. I will be there with you. Remember that. Just as much as we remember our independence and our freedom on the 4th of July, remember that Christ sent His Son to die for you and to pay the price of your sin, and for you to be able to have eternity with Him. That has been done. That is history. The thing is that we are currently living in it. The question is, do you follow Christ or don't you? Do you follow the pillar or not in the Spirit? Do we know the direction? They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Wait a minute. How does that make sense? Anybody want to even attempt, anybody that goes through and says, how in the world can we talking about Jesus? Because from the average reader, if you go into the Old Testament and you just read through, how many times do you see Jesus said this or Jesus said that? We don't, do we? Well, from a worldly output, we don't. The problem is that as we actually sit down and we study and we read God's Word and desire His Word, a lot of us don't want that actual answer. We don't want to see the actual truth behind it, because if we did, we would realize that every word of every page in this Bible, whether it be from Genesis 1:1 or to the end of Revelation, proclaims, screams out, calls out, and lets you know that Jesus is the King. In the Old Testament, that He is and will be. And I say He is and will be because John tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? Jesus was there in the Old Testament. He was there whenever He walked this earth, and He is here today. And everything that we have points us to Jesus. Everything that we see, the pillar, points us to Jesus. Everything that we look at, the fire, points us to Jesus. The water that He talks about here points us to Christ. As a matter of fact, the Israelites were complaining, as they always did, about not having anything to drink. And if you go into Exodus 15 and starting in verse 22, it said that Moses led Israel from the Red Sea and they went out to the wilderness of Shur. They journeyed for 3 days in the wilderness without finding water. They came to Marah, but they could not drink the water from Marah because it was bitter. That is why it was named Marah. The people grumbled to Moses, "What are we doing? What are we going to drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he threw it into the water became drinkable. The Lord made a statute, an ordinance for them in Marah, and He tested them there. He said, "If you will carefully obey the Lord your God, do what is right in His sight, pay attention to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will not inflict any illness on you that I inflict on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, who heals you." Man, everything that we see points to Christ. As a matter of fact, the journeys that we see that the Israelites went through, there were stories that would come through that were passed down from generation to generation, that everywhere that the Israelites went, they would find water. That they would go there, and all of a sudden it could be in the most barren of places, and suddenly water would spring up. The question is, what was that water that was literally pointing to Christ? no matter how far away you think you are, no matter how far you think a community is, no matter if you go into the worst places in the world, you know, we hear of all of this gun violence and problems and everything that's going on and issues and people being killed and murdered, all of these things going on, drugs beyond belief, areas in this country where you literally drive down and people are so far gone into drugs that they literally stand on the side of the road day and night and can't move. They are bent over, and the only thing that they do is they wake up partially for a small amount of time so that they can go get their next drug fix. We hear of alcohol issues in homes. We hear of kids having suicide issues. We hear of all of these problems, and we think, man, how far away have we gone? The problem is that we do not have enough faith in Christ to realize, in the same way when these Israelites came into the desert and found water, we can go into the desert places of this country and this world and find Christ. Are you looking for Him? Are you seeking Him? Are you proclaiming Him? Or are you just grumbling? God, why? This is too hard. I don't want to share the gospel. I don't want to share about your life. People will look at me weird. People at work will be annoyed if I talk about you. If I have problems in my life and I point people to you, or if I seek you, then somebody will say that it's because of something else or because something in this world happened. And I don't want to just look like a fool. I don't want to be another one of those guys. But man, we sure want all the problems to be fixed, don't we? In the same way all of these issues were going on, he gives this history lesson to the Jews here at Corinth. And he lets them know, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them since they were struck down in the wilderness. Does anybody know from a raise of hands, do you think Moses made it to the promised land? Raise your hand if you think so. No. What about, do you think 10,000 people of these original made it to the promised land? No, not 10,000. Okay, how about 1,000? No. 100? No. And maybe 10 people made it. No. 2. 2 people made it. Joshua and Caleb made it to the promised land. And yet, God still blessed them, still filled his promises and made a great nation. We are still proclaiming Christ today. You still have the ability to be freed from your sin today. Why? Because God is faithful and God loves us. And he tells the Jews all of these things that went wrong. And he says, now these things took place as examples for us so that we will not desire evil things as they did. He's telling us all these things. He's given us the history lesson. Remember whenever I pulled you out of the wilderness? Remember when I gave you sight? As a matter of fact, remember whenever I took you through the Red Sea? It said he led them there, and then he went behind them and pushed them through and kept them away from Pharaoh's kings. He was there the entire time. I want you to remember those things. Remember when I gave you food through manna? Remember when I gave you water? And remember whenever Christ was there with you then? He's here with you now. Remember all of those things. And why? So that we do not continue in our sin. Remember the problems that we have. And he goes further. He says, there are 4 things that we need to talk about. 4 things here that I want to share with you. 4 problems that you have. And I want to warn you about them. You remember when God was there? You remember all the problems? Now I need to warn you, don't become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to party. Now, as we first read this, automatically you guys are going to think about, man, maybe we shouldn't have had that big celebration at the 4th of July. Maybe we shouldn't have cooked out or anything. That is not what he's talking about here. He's literally talking about them making idols and celebrating them. And he quotes in Exodus 32. Remember these words and see if you see them again. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to party. When the people saw that Moses delayed in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us who will go before us, because this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron replied to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings that were on their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made it into the image of a calf. Then they said, "Israel, these are your gods who brought you up from the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of it and made an announcement, "There will be a festival to the Lord tomorrow." Early the next morning, they arose, offered burnt offerings, and presented fellowship offerings. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to party. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down at once, for your people you brought up from the land of Egypt have acted corruptly." Do you guys remember what Moses was doing? Moses was up on the mountain and he was literally there with God, and God was giving him the commandments that if you go back in chapter 31, verse 18, it says, "When he finished speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the testimony, stone tablets inscribed by the finger of God." Literally, God was giving them direction to keep them from sin, to point them to Christ, to point them to what it would take to be in his presence. And instead, what they did is they said, "Well, we got to have something to worship." And Aaron, even though he has been there and he has been speaking and being Moses' mouthpiece, says, "Yeah, go get all your rings and stuff and let's make a calf out of it and let's worship it." And that quickly, just because Moses was up on the mountain literally talking to God, giving them things that would benefit them, giving them things that they needed, they became impatient. How often do we become impatient when God says, "Sit down and wait, I've got something good for you. I've got something that you need, but it's going to take a minute. Just give me a minute and let yourself sit there and think about it." And they were, instead of thinking, they go to Aaron and say, "Make us something to worship." And all of a sudden, from God taking them out of Egypt, from God giving them the manna, from God leading them, from God doing all those things, they took their rings and they made a calf and they worshiped it and said, "These are the gods that took you out of Egypt." And all of a sudden, they wanted to rewrite history. I'm here to tell you, history is history and it's already happened. There is no rewriting it. It's either we forget it and have to live through it again, or we remember it and allow us to be benefited by it. There's no rewriting it. You can't change it. You can't just say, "Hey, let's just make the story a little bit different," because that's not history. It's one of those books as a kid I used to hate. I'm going to just let you know, I can't stand reading fiction books. It's just not in me. For me, a lot of people like to go watch movies and things. I like to watch movies, but fiction books, total waste of time. And I say it's a total waste of time because he doesn't give me anything. I really don't care what this author was thinking about at that time. And, you know, I don't really get all of life's examples out of a soup bean can, you know, and just say, "Man, I really like how they wrote that book they just magically made up." But I'm the type of guy that you could give me a book that tells me exactly, like a user's manual, and I'll read that thing and want to learn it, and I'm interested in it. I don't really care what Shakespeare was going through in his life. It doesn't relate to me. I'm that guy. Teachers, my wife's a teacher, my mom's a teacher, cringing right now. I had an English teacher one time tell me, man, you put a lot of stuff into that paper, but it was boring. And I said, yeah, it was unbelievably boring, but it was right. Why did you give me a D for it? I couldn't stand reading it. But was all the info there? Yes. Was it grammatically correct? Yes. Did I miss any spelling? No. Did I write my name in the top right corner like you said? Yep. Sounds like an A to me. But who would want to read it? Me. I want to read it. This right here isn't for our entertainment. The words in this are not for our entertainment. This is literally a historical user's manual that takes you from death into life through Christ. There is no fiction in this, only truth. And yet, we want to slightly change some things. It says, let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in a single day, 23,000 people died. The people decided that they automatically wanted to start getting into all of these sexual issues and problems. We have them today. We have problems within the church. We have problems within everywhere that we go. And when I say the church as a whole, we hear about people having issue. Ravi Zacharias having issues in his life that lead people to say, man, well, look at all of these problems and all these things get going on. He says, remember when that was going on and 23,000 people died because they decided they wanted to go into a sexualized society the same that way that we do now. That you guys remember, and I've talked about it before, the Hardee's commercials when I was growing up, that it was nothing about the burger, but they would show somebody there in a bikini riding like a mechanical bull. Don't you want a cheeseburger? And as a teenager, boy, man, mom, dad, we need to go get literally one of the worst burgers in the world at Hardee's. I can't go buy my daughter shorts today because she is too tall and literally she can't go to school in anything but other than boy shorts because they do not make shorts to allow girls to be modest. They don't make them. And you want to tell us that we don't live in a sexualized society? We do. Remember the history that these people died because of that. Let us not test Christ as some of them did and were destroyed by snakes. Literally the same people coming in. And I was listening to commentary this week. And Alistair Begg is one of the ones I listen to every week. He's one of my favorites. I've said that multiple times. Recommend you guys going and listening to him. He said, literally trying God. And he gives this description. It is right there with us. Has anybody ever had or was a kid that either you had a trying kid or you were a trying kid? And what I mean by that is, have you ever said, you are testing my patience? Oh, yeah. I've done it and I have at least one, if not multiple. Constantly. I'm sick and tired of hearing about it. You are testing me. You're going beyond the limits. And they try and they try. The Israelites were testing and trying and complaining. What about this terrible, disgusting, nasty food? I don't want to eat it. I don't want that. I want something better, even though you gave it to me so I could survive and I've lived here out of everything you've provided. I'm not going to eat it. It's disgusting. You know what he did? The same thing sometimes you got to do as parents. I call it a rear end adjustment at the house. Sometimes the kids just get a little misaligned in the rear end. You got to adjust it back in order. The same thing here, but literally this, when these poisonous snakes, God sent these poisonous snakes to come in, and they would start biting each of the people there. And as they got bit, that some of them began to die. And in order to come away from that and say, listen, those were the consequences for your actions, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you guys to have this bronze statue, and I want you to place it up. And if you look upon that bronze statue, you will be healed from the snake bites. I'm here to tell you that in the same way that that pointed to Christ and that showed Christ, the sin in your life is killing you. Look upon Christ. Look at the cross. Usually, don't go with this too far, but I'm going to have to change Ron up. He's actually, next weekend I'm being forced to work, so Ron is going to be here proclaiming the message. He is preaching this exact same message down at Ponder's Gap, isn't he, this morning? I'm going to only get about halfway, because before too long, Luke's going to say, man, that was crazy long. So we're going to finish up here in verse 10. It says, and don't complain as some of them did and were killed by the destroyer. What was the destroyer? The destroyer was the angel that came and killed the Egyptians' firstborn during the plagues when they were trying to get out of Egypt. He was also the one that killed nearly 70,000 people during David's census. He destroyed entire Syrian armies. The destroyer was an angel that came down and destroyed anything that was needed to be destroyed. The one that would take sin out, that would be there to bring down the hammer, as you would say. And he says, and don't complain. What do we have to complain about in this society today? Complain about which restaurant that we're going to go to? Complain that you may have to go to work and feel that you're way underpaid and know that there are people that work every day of their lives to live in a cardboard hut and may, if they're lucky, have a metal roof over their head with dirt floors. That there are literally people that work their entire lives, they're calloused and beyond, and their kids have to eat stones to fill their stomachs. We complain that we lose freedoms and yet we have the ability to do nearly anything that we want. As a matter of fact, we give freedoms to do things that we shouldn't be doing. We have unbelievable freedom to do whatever we want. We complain and we whine and we say, but that's not enough. My question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to just seek for the next handout, or are you going to go out and are you going to actually live for Christ? We're getting ready to take communion this morning, and I want you to know, if you are a believer, I ask that you join us, or invite you to join us in communion this morning. As we take communion, we want to remember that Christ came here fully human, fully God, that his body was broken and beaten and laid out and for us, and he died for our sins. His blood was poured out for our sins, that all the things that we do wrong, if we repent from them and turn towards Christ, that we give everything that we have and we have faith in Jesus, that Jesus, through his sacrifice and because of our faith alone, gives us grace. It's nothing that we can earn. It's nothing that we can work towards. It is freely given to us. It was paid for on a cross some 2,000 years ago for you and for me and for anyone that would make Jesus our Lord and Savior and turn our lives to him. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day and thank you for being with us. Lord, I ask that you give us the ability to know you, the ability to be able to proclaim you, the ability to be able to live out our lives for you, for us not to grumble, not to complain, to understand the history as Paul spoke, to be able to figure out all of those things, Lord, and to point everything to you. Lord, as we take this communion, allow us to have remembrance of that. Allow us to understand that. Lord, I thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.